This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, another chapter from amongst the chapters of Riyadus Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he has entitled this chapter Babu al-Tawadu'i wa khafdu al-janahi lil-mu'minin. That is the chapter of modesty and courtesy towards the believers and lowering the wing of humility, lowering the wing towards the believers. Now, the word here for modesty is at-tawadu', or tawadu'. Tawadu' means humility and being humble and being lenient and being loving. It's all part of this word, having at-tawadu'. And alhamdulillah, Islam, which has left no stone unturned, speaks about this concept and this notion and one of the manners of being an outstanding Muslim and being honored by Allah Azza wa Jal is the concept and the notion of at-tawadu'. And at-tawadu', one of the best ways to try and understand something, and if you're trying to teach something to somebody, is teaching them the opposite of something. بِضِضِّهَا تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءُ. You get to know something by the opposite. So the opposite of التَّوَاضُع is having كِبْرِيَاء, having kibr, having pride. And this is something which is shunned by the deen of Islam. So it's when, for example, the opposite of التَّوَاضُع is when you despise others, or you look down upon others, whether you look down upon them because of a favor that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you, be it knowledge, ilm that you have. It might be that you have some special knowledge, so you see yourself better than others and you despise others because of this knowledge. Or it could be because of your nasab, it could be because of your lineage. You come from a noble lineage. Or it could be because of your wealth. You're a wealthy person. You're a rich person. So you despise others because of your riches. Or it could be because of your leadership, your imara. It could be that you are a person who has a high ranking status. So this goes against at-tawadu'. This goes against being humble. And I like the saying that Muslims should be like the branch of a tree. The branch of a fruit-bearing tree, every time it bears a piece of fruit, the branch leans towards the ground. Leans towards the ground. So every time a Muslim gains something that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them, whether it be wealth, knowledge, lineage, whatever it may be, then the Muslim should humble themselves and become more humble towards the people that are around him and not see themselves as superior to them. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is wajib, it is obligatory, it is incumbent upon Muslims to lower their wing, to lower their wing for the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 215, which Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala opens up this chapter with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That is, And be kind and humble, or lower your wing, which means be kind and humble to the believers who follow you. So this is an instruction to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the best of creation, he was the best. There is nobody on the face of this earth, past, present, or in the future, that could hold a loftier position or status or name than that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal chose him to be the seal of the prophets and messengers, and he is the first to enter Jannah. And yet he was the most humblest, the most, you find him very humble, he's very lenient, he had humility. So he teaches us through his actions and through his words about the importance of being humble towards believers. So yet, despite him being the best of creation, we find him a very humble person. Subhanallah, whether it was with children, even when he was in Medina, a slave girl took him by the hand, or she told him to come along somewhere, and he went along with her. In other words, she wanted help in something, or she wanted him to see something, and she's just a slave girl that the society maybe would look at and say she's has no status, has no real weight in the community. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very humble, and he would go along with her, and or attend to her, whatever it is that she was after or in pursuit of. So lowering your wings, or lowering your wing, means that you don't feel that you are above others. Now, another verse that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included was a verse from, or it's a verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you who believe, whoever from among you turns back from his religion, Allah will bring a people whom he will love, and they will love him, humble towards the believers, stern towards the disbelievers. So, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers, the mu'minun, the mu'minin. O you who believe, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, man yartadda minkum an deenihi. That whoever apostates, turns his back against the deen of Islam. So he's a Muslim, and he becomes a non-Muslim. When people start to do this, or people do this, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, Allah will replace those people with people who will love, with people, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ, with people who will love, whom he will love, and they will love him. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters in Islam, that from time to time you may hear of an individual, a Muslim, who becomes a disbeliever. Although this is very rare, this is something very rare, however it does happen. There are individuals who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disbelieve in Allah azza wa jalla after having been Muslims and believers. So this is very sad, and we hear of it. And this is why a Muslim should never take his deen, never take his iman and his taqwa for granted, and always ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you, to protect your deen and safeguard your deen. And there is from amongst the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma la taj'al musibati fi deeni, do not make my musibah, my calamity, my trial, to be with regards to my deen. And I want to dwell on this point only because this week I came across one of these individuals. I came across a man who has been to Hajj, who has a family, who attended many lessons in Islam. And subhanAllah, this individual sat in front of me and he said to me, I now question the existence of God. I now question that God exists. And subhanAllah, I was shocked. How could a person who has come so far and has learnt about their deen and performed Hajj and performed Salah and been a practicing Muslim for so long, finally say to himself that I question the existence of God, because there are certain things that don't add up. I cannot believe that God has no beginning. So we reminded him about the verses of Allah, looking at the creation, looking at this creation, and how could it be that such an amazing system, how could it be that this world just came about? How could it be that the way the sun, the sun rises and sets, and the moon, and all the, when you look around you, there are signs that basically tell us that there is a creator. And for example, if you were walking on the beach and you see a laptop computer on the beach sitting on the sand, would you say that that laptop just came into existence out of the ocean? That the ocean just spat it out and it was just there and nobody made it? Or would you say somebody made that laptop or phone or whatever it is? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent us prophets, He sent us messengers, He sent us scriptures. And the point that I'm making here is that do not be surprised if you hear this. But at the same time, don't take your iman for granted, because there are some people who are losing their iman and losing their faith. Wal'iyadhu billah. So always ask Allah Azza wa Jal to safeguard your iman, to safeguard your Islam, and to look at the facts and look at the evidence. And remember that our intellects are limited. There are many things we will not comprehend. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually warned us about this. And he said that you will have these whisperings, that shaitan will whisper to you, who created this and who created that? Who created Allah? And when you have these thoughts, the Prophet ﷺ said, to cease, to put a stop towards these thoughts, and to say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Stop thinking about it and say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So this is one very important strategy, that when you have these thoughts, to put an end to those thoughts immediately, and to say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and look at the facts and remember that our minds and our brains are limited. They cannot comprehend all things. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will bring a people whom He will love and they will love Him. Now when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, some people ask the question, and that is, how do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us? What are the signs? How will we ever know that Allah actually loves us? And alhamdulillah, there are signs of this that the ulama, that the scholars of Islam have spoken about, that there are signs regarding the knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal loves you. Number one, from amongst the ways, and there are many ways of knowing if Allah Azza wa Jal loves you, is if you find yourself consistently remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it's through your heart, through your words of remembrance, recital of the Quran, whether it's actions of your limbs, performing salah, performing hajj, performing umrah, giving sadaqah, then this is a sign that Allah loves you. That Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. Allah Azza wa Jal has given you the ability and has given you the hidayah and the guidance for you to actually do those things for His sake. So the first sign would be constantly remembering Allah Azza wa Jal and that there is this consistency in your fulfillment of your duties towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Another sign is when you love what Allah loves. If you want to know that Allah loves you, you ask yourself, do you love what Allah loves? So if you find yourself loving the Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, loving the Khulafa Ar-Rashidun, loving Imams, people of knowledge, scholars, those who propagate, who spread Islam, finding yourself loving the righteous people, okay, this is a sign of Allah Azza wa Jalla's love towards you. Loving what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Number three is when your heart, you find your heart is constantly leaning towards that which pleases Allah. So those actions that are pleasing to Allah, you find your heart leaning towards them. That's another sign of Allah Azza wa Jal's love towards you. Another sign is carrying out acts of worship. So again, fulfilling your duties, your salat, your sawm Ramadan, your zakah, your hajj. If you are fulfilling your duties, then that is a sign. That is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, because you're putting those acts of worship in front of your desires. Because your desires and your whims may be compelling you and guiding you and directing you to not do those things. But if you find yourself doing them while you don't want to do them, maybe because you're busy or because of some preoccupation, then that's a good sign to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. So, if you find yourself, for example, that you drop everything when salah time and it arrives and comes about, then that's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. When you hear the caller to prayer, say hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah, and you attend the prayer and you leave your work, then that's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Okay, so these are, and there are other signs that the ulama have mentioned, but I just wanted to mention a few of them. And these are some of the signs that show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then amazing things can happen in your life. So many beautiful things can happen in your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless you and reward you in this life, and more importantly, in the hereafter, insha'Allah ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another verse. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Surah al-Najm, verse 32. So ascribe not purity to yourselves. Don't praise yourself. Do not praise yourselves. He says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. That he knows best him who fears Allah and keeps his duty to him. He knows who the muttaqun are. So don't go praising yourself. That's not from the etiquettes of a Muslim and the manners of a Muslim, to go about praising himself, praising his iman and praising his taqwa. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included a number of hadiths, a number of prophetic traditions to do with this chapter of being humble and having at-tawadu'. Now, the first hadith that he mentions is the hadith of Iyad ibn Himar radiallahu anhu, reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah has revealed to me that you should humble yourselves to one another. One should neither hold himself above another nor transgress against another. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. So again, a hadith of humbling yourself and not holding yourself above others. So to treat each other humbly, leniently, lovingly. Okay, this is what's the message here in this hadith. Another hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, which is about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the honor. He raises the honor of the one who forgives, the one who forgives others. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he reported in this hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ. That is, wealth does not diminish or reduce by giving sadaqah. So when you give sadaqah, when you give for the sake of Allah, when you give charity, your wealth does not decrease. It doesn't decrease. You know, how many times have we given sadaqah and we find that we still, alhamdulillah, we still have money in our wallets. We still have food. We still have drink. We still have means of livelihood, even though we give sadaqah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on and he says, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّا. That is, that Allah raises the honor of one who forgives. Allah raises the honor of the one who is forgiving. Don't have this pride. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, and one who serves another seeking the pleasure of Allah, Allah will exalt him in ranks. Allah will exalt him in ranks. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the wealth of the one who gives in sadaqah. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the wealth and yet you've given from it? It could be in a number of ways. One of the ways, it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the rest of his wealth in such a way that the sense of loss is removed from his mind. He doesn't look like, he doesn't even perceive it or feel it as a loss. In the next hadith, we learn how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would mimic the humility and the humbleness and the simplicity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda that we find in Bukhari and Muslim, it is stated that Anas, he passed by some children and he greeted them by saying, Assalamu alaikum. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaf'aluhu. So the Prophet ﷺ, he used to do the same. So when the Prophet ﷺ would be walking past children, he would say to them, Assalamu alaikum. You know, not that I'm older than you, I'm bigger than you, they're just kids. So to greet saying Assalamu alaikum, small children, is an excellent expression of humbleness, at-tawadu', and being humble. In the next hadith is the hadith about the slave girl that I mentioned to you from Medina. This hadith is found in Sahih Bukhari. And here, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported that a slave girl of Al-Medina would take hold of the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take him wherever she desired. So again, this hadith throws light on the sublime courtesy, on the sublime courtesy and unique humbleness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as his passion to meet the wants of the needy. He always wanted to help those who were in need. He was selfless and not selfish, thinking about others. And subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would display his humbleness at home. And we read in the hadith of Al-Aswad ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu, that when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what did the Messenger of Allah, what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do inside his house? And she answered, كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. In other words, he used to keep himself busy helping the members of his family. فَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ خَرَجَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And when it was the time for salah, he would get up for prayer. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in his family's home, he was helping out. He was at the service of his household members. But when the time for salah came, he didn't allow for the chores, or he didn't allow for the work at home to stand in front of the salah. The salah is a priority. And that's why when the adhan is sounded, we need to drop what we are doing and get ready for the salah. Get ready for the salah. The next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam shows us his humbleness and his humility and his consideration of others. Even when he was delivering a khutbah once, and he interrupted his khutbah to attend to a person who has come. In the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, Tamim ibn Usaid radiallahu anhu wa arda reported, he said, I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was delivering a khutbah, and said, O Messenger of Allah, a stranger, meaning himself, has come to inquire about his deen. He is quite ignorant about his deen. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interrupted his khutbah and turned to me. Then a chair was brought for him and he sat on it. He started instructing me what Allah had taught him. Then he resumed his khutbah and completed it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows here how he left the khutbah. He's in the middle of the khutbah and he comes down from the minbar and he sits this person on a chair and he teaches him some aspects related to the deen that are important, and he goes back up to the khutbah to deliver the khutbah. This also shows from a fiqh perspective that it is permissible for the imam to interrupt his khutbah if there is some need, or to talk to a member of the congregation if there is a need to do so, and then resume the khutbah. Now, Islam, as you know, is a practical way of life. And in the next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam again teaches us the manners and etiquette when it comes to eating. And again, how we should always humble ourselves and have this humility at all times, even if it comes to the food. Anas radiallahu anhu reported that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam finished eating his food, he would lick his three fingers. He would lick his three fingers, meaning his middle finger, his index finger, and his thumb, because these are the fingers that he would eat from. And it's sunnah to eat with your fingers. And it has been proven that when you eat from your fingers, there is some substance that is released from your fingers, that as you're eating, it enters into your stomach and it helps with the digestion of your food. And this has been proven scientifically as well. So there is a benefit in eating with your fingers and licking your fingers. Contrary to what might be, the etiquettes, maybe in the Western world or maybe in some culture. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if any one of you drops a morsel, that means a piece, a morsel of food, he should remove anything harmful from it and then eat it. So even if you drop it on the ground, you should, you know, clean it up, fix it up, whatever you have to do, and then eat it. Don't just throw it away, you know. Unless you know that it's going, you know, it's on very dirty ground and it could really affect your health or whatever. But if it's fallen and you can remove the dirt or clean it or wash it or what have you, then this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He should not leave it for the shaitan, he said. Don't leave it for the shaitan. He commanded us to clean out the dish, saying, you do not know in what portion of your food the blessing lies. So when you come to eat your food, there is a place in the food where there's a barakah in eating. There's a barakah, there's a blessing. And that's why Islam teaches us to eat, to eat the entire meal and to lick your fingers, so that way you ensure that the barakah, the blessing part of the food, has been gained. Now, we learn also that all of the prophets and all of the messengers were shepherds. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he said that every prophet had or has tended sheep. Every prophet has tended sheep. And he was asked, and did you, were you, in other words, a shepherd as well, Ya Rasulullah? And he said, yes, I tended them for a few carats for the Meccans. So, and the hikmah behind that is that when you tend sheep, when you're a shepherd, it prepares you to lead a people, because you start to take on some of the traits, the characteristics of leadership by being a shepherd, you know, rounding up your herd or your flock, okay, ensuring that they don't get out of hand, you know, tending to them, leading them, okay. So again, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, did not shy away and show pride, or you know that, and say no, I wasn't a shepherd. That yes, I was a shepherd, just as the prophets and the messengers before me were shepherds. Another display of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's humbleness is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, if I am invited to a meal consisting of a sheep's foot or shoulder, I would respond and I would accept as a gift a shoulder or a foot of a sheep. So this also exemplifies the humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ, that it doesn't matter what food was being served, that he would respect the invitation. And this is from the etiquette of a Muslim, or from the manners, is that a Muslim, when he is invited to a walima, when he is invited to a banquet or to a feast, that he attends and respects the fact that he has been invited. Unless, of course, he's been invited prior by somebody else, or he has a reason not to go. And in the next hadith, we learn that Allah never keeps anything in the world on the rise eternally. Nothing stays, you know, in its lofty position forever. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah had a she camel. The Prophet had a female camel, which was known as Al-Adba. And Al-Adba, which would not allow any other camel to surpass her. She was like the fastest camel. No other camel could beat Al-Adba. And then one day, a Bedouin came riding his camel, which outstripped Al-Adba. It outran this camel of the Prophet ﷺ. And the messenger of the Muslims were actually upset about this. The upset that the Prophet's camel was beaten by another camel made them upset. They didn't want the Prophet's camel to be beaten. So the Prophet, he said, it is Allah's way that He lowers whatever raises itself in the world. So this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it underlines a principle of Allah. A principle of Allah that He never keeps anything in the world on the rise eternally. Nothing will stay up there forever. Whatever, you know, goes up must come down. It will not stay up forever. No leader will be a leader forever. There'll come a time where his leadership will be removed from him, or he will pass away. So everything, or every rising star, has its eventual decline. It will decline. The next chapter that Imam al-Nawawi included is the opposite of the chapter that we just took. And that is, he says, بَابُ تَحْرِيمِ الْكِبْرِ وَالْإِعْجَابِ. It's haram to have kibr, the condemnation of pride and self-conceit. And here, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala also included a number of hadiths. And in the first hadith that he mentions, that is found in Sahih Muslim, is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa arda, that the Prophet ﷺ said, he who has in his heart an ant's weight of arrogance will not enter Jannah. This is a very serious hadith. That whoever has an ant's weight of kibr, of pride in his heart, will not enter Jannah. Man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min kibr. So a man said, فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا. He said, a man likes to wear beautiful clothes and shoes. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقُّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. He said, that Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Allah is beautiful. He loves. There's nothing wrong with beautifying yourself, dressing up in a way that makes you look very beautiful, having beautiful clothes, beautiful shoes. Arrogance means ridiculing and rejecting the truth and despising people. That's what's meant here by arrogance. When you despise others. When you despise others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst the manners and etiquettes when it comes to food, is to eat with your right hand. And to eat from what is directly in front of you. And not just to be eating, especially if you're eating with a group of people from one big plate. Not to be just eating from here and from there. But to eat with your right and to eat from what is directly in front of you. In the hadith of Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu anhu, that is found in Sahih Muslim, one day a man was eating in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his left hand. He was eating with his left hand, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, eat with your right hand. Eat with your right hand. He said, I cannot. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, may you never be able to do that. It was arrogance that had prevented him from doing it. So he was just arrogant. Not that he couldn't do it, but he was arrogant. He didn't want to eat with his right hand. So the Prophet ﷺ made a dua against him, saying, because you said that out of arrogance, may you not be able to eat with your right hand. And subhanAllah, the hadith states, and he could not raise it up to his mouth afterwards. He was not able to move, to actually raise his right hand up to his mouth after that, after the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From amongst the people who will go to hellfire, from amongst the inmates of the hellfire, we learn that they are people who have pride. And in the hadith of Haritha ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu that is found in Bukhari and is found in Muslim, the Messenger of Allah وسلم, said, "Shall Allah inform you about the inmates of hell?" He said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi ahli an-nar?" He said, "Kullu 'utullin jawwadhin mustakbir." It is every violent, impertinent, and proud person. We even learn about a dialogue or a dispute that took place between hellfire and Jannah and paradise. In the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu wa arda that we find in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was a dispute between hell and Jannah, and hell said, "The haughty and proud are in me." The Jannah said, "In me are the weak and the humble." So humble people are in Jannah. Proudful people are in the hellfire. Thereupon Allah the Exalted judged between them, saying, "You, the Jannah, are my mercy, and through you I shall show mercy to those whom I wish." And addressing the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "You are my punishment to punish whom I wish amongst my slaves, and each one of you will have its fill." From amongst the things that show arrogance, according to this hadith, are those people, and this is referring to males, who wear their clothes or their izar or their lower garments below their ankles out of pride. And this is something that has been mentioned by the ulama. According to the hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah said, "On the day of resurrection, Allah will not look at him who trails his lower garment out of pride." And this is known as al-isbal. Isbal. When you wear your lower garments, whether it be your pants or anything that you wear from your waist down, and then you allow it to exceed your ankles, and you do it out of pride, isbal, according to this hadith, Allah will not look at this person. And the ulama have differed regarding those who do it out of pride and those who don't do it out of pride, between those who say that even if you don't do it out of pride, there are hadith that ma asfal al-ka'baini fi an-nar, that whatever is underneath the ka'b or the two ankles will be in the hellfire. And then some scholars said, no, this is only if it's done out of pride, as other hadiths have mentioned. So the sunnah, when it comes to males' lower garments, whether it's wearing a thawb, abaya, or pants, that they are above the ankles. And even more so, halfway on the shins. Yani, that's the sunnah. In this next hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "There are three types of people to whom Allah will not speak on the day of resurrection, nor will He purify them, nor look at them, and they will have a painful punishment." Three types of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at them. So He won't speak to them, He won't purify them, and He won't look at them. And they have a punishment, subhanAllah. And he mentions, number one, an aged man who commits zina, an older man who commits adultery or fornication. Okay, Allah won't even look at that man. Because like by the time he's gotten to an old age, he should be wiser. He should have more fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he continues to do that, this is problematic. And there's a serious problem there. So there is a serious punishment. So the second one is a ruler who lies. A leader of a people who lies. And lying is condemned in Islam. And especially from a person who's leading a people. And number three, a proud poor person. Having pride. There's another hadith that talks about how a man was swallowed by the earth as a result of his pride. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, that we find in Sahih Muslim that the Messenger of Allah sallam said, while a man was walking, dressed in clothes, admiring himself, his hair combed, walking haughtily, when Allah caused the earth to swallow him. The earth swallowed him up. Now he will continue to go down in it as a punishment until the day of resurrection. So this was a punishment for this person for having this kibr, for having pride. This is a very serious disease, to have kibr and have pride and see yourself as being above others, superior to others, because of maybe your knowledge or your wealth or your lineage or your status or your leadership. So again, this hadith warns us against self-praise and arrogance, which may pervade our hearts by fine clothes and physical beauty. And Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiallahu anhu wa arda reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man continues to display haughtiness and arrogance until he is recorded among the arrogant and will be therefore afflicted with what afflicts them. So this is a number of hadith, or these were a number of hadiths that talk about the illness of having pride. Jazakum Allahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to purify our hearts, to make us from amongst those who follow in the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his humbleness and his tawadu', and to safeguard us from al-kibr, from having kibriya, from having pride. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.